This is Vectis Radio. For the people, by the people.
A special guest has dropped in. He's called Martin Morris. He's written his first book, a debut novel, I think is the posh way of saying it. So, Martin, it's called Agri Shell, which is an unusual title. Can you tell us, give us the gist, what's it about?
It's about an oil company that lay charges and for seismic studies and destroy an ecology. And the creature whose ecology they destroy when he returns is not very pleased about it.
Good Lord.
He's quite an intelligent creature. Might even be from another place, shall we say.
And, wow.
He comes with revenge in mind.
Wow. This sounds amazing. So, we'll go into some of the detail later, but where... It's always tough for a writer to say this, I'm sure, but where did you get your inspiration from for this book?
Well, simply enough, I was on holiday with the kids, camping, and they came home in the evening and said, "We want ghost stories, scare us." And we all looked at each other and nobody knew any ghost stories. So every day I'd make up a little story to try and sort of give them a bit of a scare and a jump. And after the holiday, we thought, well, we'll write those down because, you know, next year we can tell the same stories and they won't remember. When I started writing the first story, which was Agri Shell, it turns out I don't write kids' stories. I really don't. But it was based around, initially, a sort of a shell-based creature that came out and attacked people on beaches, but grew into something far more... wild.
So how far are we going back when you first got the idea?
Well, the first idea was 10 years ago.
Okay.
So initially, and it was writing just became a bit of a little hobby in your spare time. And when you work full time and you've got kids, I think everybody knows you don't get a lot of spare time. And over the years, as the kids grew up, I wrote more and more till it became a full-blown passion. I joined the White Fair writing group.
Yeah.
And it gave me the emphasis to... finish the book and give it a go and put it out to publishers.
Okay. So in those 10 years, you would be what? You wouldn't be writing regularly on the story, would you? Or
No.
Like long gaps in between?
Absolutely long gaps. I stopped to write short stories. It's just, you know, it was a hobby.
Okay.
And when you sort of got to a point where you're thinking, well, actually, I've got a book here.
Yeah.
I sort of thought, well, I'll really give it a go and see where it can take me.
And it took
me here.
It sounds a bit like a horror story. Is that what it is?
It's a horror thriller.
Or is it more than that?
It's a horror thriller, but it's a bit more than that. It's a bit more of a thinking man's monster, really. It's not just a savage beast.
And is the disturbance of the ecology significant? Is it
extremely
making any points about what we're doing to the planet?
I tried not to force that down people's throats, but of course there's an element of that in the background, I hope, that people think, maybe we should be a little bit more careful about what we do. That would be quite helpful.
Okay. And you've managed to get your first book published. You found a publisher.
I did indeed,
Which is amazing, because there are a lot of people who never managed that. So, well done to you for that.
Thank you very much.
Was that a hard process? Did you have to... Has it taken you years to find someone?
Well, not years. It took months. I put them out to about 15 publishers to begin with.
Yeah.
And some friends of mine got a publisher to read it and give me some advice.
Yeah.
To show me, you know, what the flaws might be. And there were a few flaws that I rectified.
Yeah.
And the first time I put it out again to some publishers, the first one came back and said, yeah, we'd like to publish that.
Wow.
To which I jumped at the chance, obviously, with an excitement skip in my step, and not realising they were in Tasmania.
Okay, so just round the corner then.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I get emails about 4 a.m. from them.
Okay, brilliant. So, but when you said there were flaws, I'm just thinking for any writers out there who are listening, what would you say you'd learned from the process of producing it? Because obviously you must have edited lots of times and rewritten passages, and it doesn't just... You don't just write a book and then, I've finished now, there you go. You almost like go back to the beginning, don't you?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you've got to obviously work extremely hard making sure that the prose sound nice, that the words you use fit the sentences and all the usual stuff with writing. But the most important thing, I think, is making it immediate and not taught to people, but to actually give it a feeling that they're living the story rather than you're telling the story.
Yeah.
So that, it's just giving yourself that voice, I think, that's the difference.
Did you change a large part of your story in the editing? I mean, is it radically different from your original? Is it?
Well, I completely changed the first three chapters in the rewrite.
Did you?
Yeah. I think the beginning of a story is probably the as difficult as it gets. And from that, it kind of gives birth to itself. And it goes and it grows naturally. But the actual beginning is quite a difficult point to put it all together to begin with.
And in terms of how you approached it, did you... I'm quite interested in this, as you can probably tell. But did you actually have the whole plot in your mind from the start, so you knew beginning, middle and end? Or was it a case of, I think I know, but let's just see what happens?
Yeah, well, yeah, it's the latter, definitely. I had an idea where I wanted it to go, and it took me in that direction, and then whichever direction it wanted to go from there.
Yeah.
And, but I much prefer that, because if I knew what was going to happen all the way through it, where would be the fun in writing it?
Yeah.
I like the fact that the new things can come up, that new ideas can happen, and you can make it better that way.
Yeah. And did those ideas come from... difficult concept, but from the characters themselves? So once you started to get to know the characters in your book, did you feel that the reactions they were making were the things that led you along?
Yeah, of course you get to know your characters better, and you think, well, they wouldn't do that, or maybe they do this, or you know, perhaps he's the kind of person that might like a different course of action.
So, yeah,
of course, that's what the great thing about your characters can change your own story, which is great.
Yeah, it's fascinating stuff. But anyway, you've got it published. It's available on Amazon.
It certainly is.
Yes, give it a plug.
It's amazon.co.uk for anybody who wants
to
have a look.
That's the one.
And that's Agushel.
Yeah. How do you spell that?
That's AGRUSHELL, as in shell.
Does that stand for anything?
As I say, when I first started writing the story for the kids, it was a shell, like a vicious hermit crab, really.
So it's a made-up name of a shell.
Yeah, and I like the fact that it came from that place, and it links me back to the kids and that time on the beach that I wrote it. So
that's fantastic.
That's why I kept that particular name. Yeah.
And will there be a follow-up?
There will eventually be a sequel, but the book I'm writing at the moment is a complete change. I just couldn't face another 10 years at sea. So this one's based on the land that I'm writing at the moment.
Yeah. And your that reminds me of another question I wanted to ask, but the setting is on an oil rig. Mm-hmm. Do you write about that because you know it, or have you had to do a lot of research?
Yeah, I've had to do a ton of research. I knew nothing about oil rigs.
I perhaps
wouldn't have chosen an oil rig at first if I hadn't. No, but it's been worth it, actually. It's been interesting, but I think I wanted an environment that was closed, that the people couldn't get away from, that they had to face what was coming towards them, and then try and survive long enough for somebody to come and rescue them. So it's that kind of battle between time and the creature itself.
Oh, wow. So it sounds like a real page turner. Is that what the effect that you've tried to create?
Yeah, as I say, it is a thriller, hopefully.
Yeah.
Hopefully. The reviews are good, so people seem to enjoy it, and that's what they kind of say, is that it's that kind of
absolutely
a fun fueled ride.
Can you tell us a bit about your next book, what the theme of that one is, or would you rather not?
Very briefly, it's based on a race of dead insects, an insect hive that have been wiped out, and find a way to make humans hosts. So it's kind of based along that kind of an idea of kind of possession.
Oh, yeah.
And it's called Susurrus, which is a dry whispering. And it's set about the hive queen's voice that controls. And that's kind of the basis of where it starts.
Yeah. Sounds quite scary again.
I hope so.
is that going to be your speciality? Is it?
It's kind of what I write. As I don't know how to explain to other people why you write what you write always.
No.
But when I started writing it seems that's what I write.
Can you trace it back to anything, that interesting scary things?
Yeah. As a kid, I grew up watching all the black and white sort of horror movie things, the old werewolves and Frankenstein, I absolutely loved all those. I had a glow-in-the-dark Dracula when I was about 8.
Have you still got it?
Unfortunately, no. I was really upset that I haven't. I might try and find one again.
I used to, in fact, I've still got quite a few of the, I think they're 1950s, black and white sci-fi ones.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, there's
brilliant.
Some amazing stories, aren't there, in that?
Was it them and all that?
Yeah. Oh, so that's where it began for you, as a child.
Yes, I'm not sure what kicked me into that direction, but I absolutely loved it. Saturday mornings, I'd race to the TV just so I could watch black and white sort of horror films and stuff.
And final question is your writing habit. Again, a lot of people approach this in different ways, but what's yours? Do you make yourself write every single day now, or do you give yourself long gaps?
I try and write as often as I humanly possibly can. So if you get an hour, then write for an hour. If you get half an hour, write for half an hour.
But try to do it every day?
If I can, definitely.
So most days you will?
Most days I'll be writing.
Yeah, okay. So the next book you're writing, so you've only just started work on that, haven't you?
55,000 words into the rough draft at the moment.
So how long ago did you start that one then?
8 months.
8 months. So another similar period then?
Oof, at least.
You're on air now, Martin.
Yeah,
I've
been held to it.
It's going to be.
I think hopefully I can finish from where I am now in a year. I hope
another year from now.
Yeah, I hope.
Allowing time for all going back and starting again.
And people wanting to do stuff with me and saying, "Get out of the house, Martin." All you ever do is look at your computer. That kind of thing.
Okay. Well, that's fantastic. Oh, well, congratulations to you.
Thank you very much.
I will be ordering a copy of your book.
You're a star.
And, no, it's all right. And do you want to just give us a final plug for the book? Give us the name, the title, where people can buy it again.
Yeah, it's Agrishel, and you can buy it on amazon.co.uk. You can buy it as an ebook or as a paperback. So either or.
And the author's name is?
Martin Morris.
Fantastic.
Or me. As I like to think of myself.
That's fantastic. Thanks for popping in, Martin.
My pleasure. Brilliant. Absolutely great.
I can't wait to read it.
Good. www.vectisradio.com